Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the fear of old age. I've written a little booklet called Forget Me Not, which came out of my own experience of watching my dear mother become senile and have to be taken care of in a convalescent home in Pennsylvania. And as I visited her there, I saw a good many people that were in much worse shape than she was, and my reaction was like that of most of us, I suppose. You go into a place like that, and everything in you just revolts against what you see. All these dear old people who look like corpses, their jaws hanging open, sometimes they're drooling, sometimes they're making meaningless sounds or shouting or banging on the tray of their wheelchairs. And everything in us just recoils and we say, I can't bear it. Just think, I might be there. I don't want it. I don't want any part of it. And the truth is, we're scared to death. The fear of old age. Well, this little booklet that I wrote called Forget Me Not deals with some of the things that the Lord showed me and comforted me with as I contemplated the prospect of my mother getting worse or of myself getting just like the worst of the people that I saw in that institution. So if you're interested in getting that little booklet, which really gives some help in how to regard and care for God's aging children, you can call and ask for Forget Me Not. The fear of old age is basically the fear of death, isn't it? Why is it that we refuse to tell our age? Well, I don't. And the only reason that I don't mind telling my age, well, I shouldn't say the only reason, there are several good reasons. One of them is that it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We're not really kidding anybody when we'd like them to think we're younger. And secondly, it's the will of God for me to be this age. He was the one that decided that I was to be born in December of 1926. Why is it that we want to dye our hair, have our faces lifted, wear sweatsuits and running shoes instead of dress, which would be a little bit more appropriate to grandmothers and grandfathers, subscribe to the youth cult, or deny the truth, which is the will of God? I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I have a sneaking suspicion that deep down underneath, we are scared of old age. We really are trying to deny it. It's a form of what I suppose psychologists would call denial. And just as much as part three is God's story, so were parts one and two. Why not receive it and rejoice in it and offer back all that it means to Him? I offer back my age, my elderliness, whatever you want to call it, my sunset years, my golden age. I offer it up to Jesus. It was His idea in the first place. It is as an old woman that I am to glorify God. And so I say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. I will rejoice in it. And I will offer it to you with thanksgiving. I had a letter from my mother-in-law, Jim Elliott's mother, way back in 1973. And she had been pondering Psalm 71, verses 14 to 23. And she said, I felt that these verses were just for me, because I often feel so unnecessary and wonder why I am left here. This generation needs people who have faith and trust the Lord and for encouragement. When one is old and often in pain and just tired, one feels so useless. And verses like this speak to me and give me a lift when badly needed. Why should I be left here when Ad, she was referring to my second husband who had just died, so capable and needed, is taken? I remember when Jim was taken. Dad wept bitterly and asked God that question, feeling that Jim had so much to give in his youth. But God's ways are not our ways. He knows, and we just believe and trust. One's longings cannot be expressed. That was a letter from my mother-in-law, Mom Elliot, in 1973, and she was very badly crippled from arthritis and from an unbalanced hip and from loss of calcium. Her hands were extremely crippled, and she was in a wheelchair and on a crutch, and I can understand why, normally, naturally speaking, humanly speaking, she would just be tired and feeling useless and needing that 71st Psalm. But the Bible tells me that gray hair is a crown of glory. Well, I look at my crown of glory in the mirror every morning. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of glory, and it is won by a virtuous life. I don't want to disguise that crown that God has given me. In Acts 17, verse 26, we read, He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God has determined the date of your birth, the date of your death. And on this particular day, think of the fact that God determined the age that you would be. My brother Phil often sends me a birthday card only because of my four brothers. His birthday is the closest to mine, and we usually remember each other's. He's number one in the family of six, and I'm number two. And last year, he sent me a birthday card which said on the outside, I thought birthdays were supposed to make you look older. And I opened the card, and inside said, but I don't think you look any worse than you did last year. Well, of course, Phil doesn't see me very often, and I know that I do look a little worse, but probably not too much more ravaged. Somebody figured out that if a human life is analogous to a single day's waking hours, say 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., then a 20-year-old is at 10 o'clock in the morning, a 30-year-old at noon, a 40, 2 p.m., a 60-year-old, 6 p.m. So I'm getting on into the evening. But each hour is in God's hand. To me, that's a happy prospect. I'm going to see His face. I'm going to be like Him. Am I afraid? Perfect love casts out fear. My love isn't perfect. I still have some fears. But the more He teaches me to love Him, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the less room there is for fear. There's no fear for the future. God is already there. Isn't that a terrific prospect? In 2 Corinthians 4:11, Paul says, We are consigned to our death every day for the sake of Jesus, so that in our mortal flesh, the life of Jesus too may be openly shown. Now, would you allow me for once to quote from Plato? I don't lay Plato and Socrates on you very often, but this is so appropriate to what I wanted to say today. From Plato's Phaedo, Socrates replied with a smile, O Simmias, what are you saying? I am not very likely to persuade other men that I do not regard my present situation as a misfortune, if I cannot even persuade you that I am no worse off now than at any other time in my life. I should put in a parenthesis that Socrates was in prison, facing his death. Will you not allow that I have as much of the spirit of prophecy in me as the swans? For they, when they perceive that they must die, having sung all their life long, do then sing more lustily than ever, rejoicing in the thought that they are about to go away to the God whose ministers they are. But men, because they are themselves afraid of death, slanderously affirm of the swans that they sing a lament at the last, not considering that no bird sings when cold or hungry or in pain, not even the nightingale, nor the swallow, nor yet the hoopoe, which are said indeed to tune a lay of sorrow, although I do not believe this to be true of them any more than of the swans. But because they are sacred to Apollo, they have the gift of prophecy and anticipate the good things of another world. Wherefore they sing and rejoice in that day more than ever they did before. And I, too, believing myself to be the consecrated servant of the same God and the fellow servant of the swans, think of that. We human beings are servants of God, aren't we? And so are swans and all other creatures. And Socrates says, being a fellow servant of the swans and thinking that I have received from my master gifts of prophecy not inferior to theirs, I would not go out of life less merrily than the swans. Have you heard that the swan song is a lament? Well, Socrates takes issue with that. As he points out, no bird sings when cold or hungry or in pain, not even the nightingale. So the swan is not singing a sorrowful farewell. He is singing at the prospect of going to the master who gave him his gifts. Will you go out of life less merrily than the swans? There's no reason to, if you have the hope that all Christians are given. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Don't be afraid of old age. Thank God for it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.